Mystery of God, which is Christ. Now, Mark 4, you can read these. I'll give you these references. But Mark 4, verse 11 and 12 is one of the first times that this term comes up, the way our New Testament is arranged. Not that much speaking of it in the Gospels, but there's a lot in Paul's epistles. But Jesus is speaking to his disciples here after he has been dealing with the Jews in parables. He's been different parables concerning the kingdom of God. And he said to his disciples, and he said to them, "Unto you is given to know mystery of the kingdom of God." The way this is written, it doesn't mean that they at that time are able to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God, but because they are his, it is given to them to know it. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, so that in seeing with their natural eyes, they may see and not perceive. And so that hearing with their natural ears, they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should not be forgiven them. And again, I don't want to get caught up explaining what that verse is really saying there, but at any time, lest they should think that they, through their own understanding, have been converted or have, you know, and that they would and yet still be in their sins. So my point here and the verse is, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And I guess, you know, we could spend the whole class on Mark 4, we'd have to bring a lot of other verses into it, but that's not our search tonight. But rather, it is given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. My question is, how? I'll tell you on this, when I'm driving by myself, the Lord works on me going and coming. And how? It seems like that more than any time in the 50 some odd years that I have been preaching this gospel by the revelation of Christ, that there is more opposition among the people of God have encountered in these times. And yet along with that, I have to tell you that I have never seen a greater outreach of this gospel and a receptance of this gospel in the body of Christ around the world. It seems like the farther out we go with this gospel, well, that would make sense. You know, the more receptive. Why? Well, because we cover more people. We cover a bigger segment of the body of Christ. But we are finding that is so. And there's a brother that has been talking with us, and his name is David Winger. I think you've heard of David. Well, David's a good brother. And he has come to us with the idea and the proposition of he wants to set up a radio station. Now, this will be an internet radio, but it's a radio station, licensed as a radio station, programmed as a 24-hour-a-day radio station. And then he can set up contracts and so forth. He does that part of it. It's amazing that not too many months ago, I told the guys here at Christ, and I'll tell you what we need, fellas. We need, and they looked at each other and said, you know, this is like, you know, what is he going to come up with now? And because we're pretty well stretched out in doing what we do now electronically and keeping up with the classes and all of that. But I tell you, they're abounding. But at the same time, I have never seen opposition like I have personally. And that comes to me in one form or another personally. And I'm not saying that I'm bothered by it. I'm saying that I recognize it. And, in my life, and I've been at this a long time, and I've been in a lot of places, and I've had a lot of people not believe what we had to say, along with many who did. I'm talking about opposition. I'm talking about, and it is amazing. But to me, it is because of the outreach. It is, you know, when there is something that is growing, something that is coming forth, that is Christ, opposition crawls out from under the rocks, as you well know. Mm-hmm. It does that locally, and it will certainly do that in any other way as well, but that is true. But all it's called me to do is just double down with the reality of this gospel. Because if I believed that there was another gospel, I'd be somewhere preaching it. If I believed that we actually had a need in our soul other than seeing him as he is revealed in us, I'd be preaching something. But I've already been there and I've already done that, and I didn't find anything in it that satisfied my soul. And the more I see of him, the more I see there is to know of him. It all has to do with this mystery. I spoke a little of it to you the last Monday night, but moving on from that, it is given to you to know. See, it is purpose of God that you and I know the mystery, what has been hidden, what had to be kept hidden until the substance of it actually came. The substance of the mystery, of course, is Christ. It had to be kept hidden. A testimony was given. And you know all of that in the types and the shadows and so forth. But according to what Paul called the wisdom of God, mystery of God was kept hidden. It is given to us to know the wisdom of God. How? Let's read another verse or two, and then we're going to Colossians, and then we'll continue to look at some of these other verses, because all of these verses we could spend all day on probably any one of them, and we'll look at them as we go along in our classes to come. Let me first read to you. I'll come back to that in a minute. Romans 16, 25 through 27. Now unto him. Romans 16, 25 through 27. Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by or according to the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, is now made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. Now I put "is now" in there because it belongs in there. So let me tell you, let's look at what that is saying, because it's, but now is made manifest. But now is made manifest. Come. And according to the scriptures of the prophets, and according to the commandment of an everlasting God, now we're back to our sentence, is now made manifest and is now made known to all the nations for the obedience of faith. So that mystery which is now made manifest is that which the scripture of the prophets said would be made manifest. And it's made manifest according to the everlasting God. You see what I'm saying there, the verse, but is now made manifest. And according to the scripture of the prophets, in other words, is now made manifest because the prophet said it would be made manifest. It's now made manifest according to the commandment of the everlasting God. It is now made known to all nations, and that Paul is preaching this to the Gentiles. And there's a reason for the obedience of faith. For the obedience of faith. Huh? I want you to think about this. This is not what I want to spend time with, but I want you to think about this. Most of what is being preached as the gospel has nothing to do with the obedience of faith. Paul is saying, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. What mystery? Well, the one that was made secret since the world began. What mystery? Well, the one that is now made manifest because in accordance with the scriptures. Blah, blah, blah. But what he's actually saying here is, if you look at all of the prepositional phrases there, follow the thought there, it's according to the revelation of the mystery. is now made manifest, made known to all, both Jew and Gentile, for obedience of faith. Until what we are seeing, what we are receiving, is that gospel which comes by the revelation of Jesus Christ, there is and need nor can be obedience to the faith. That's what he's saying here. Now you can read it and read it and reread it, but that's what he's saying here. If we follow his thought all the way through, to the only wise, to God only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 through 8. It's right in here. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Let me just go back again. I didn't want to spend time with this, but let me just go back. Honey, the reason that there's only one gospel that can bring us to obedience of faith, there is only one gospel that is strictly based upon the faith of Jesus Christ. And there's no way that the faith of Jesus Christ is worked in our soul except by the revealing of Jesus Christ, who is the eternal Word of God. What happens by the preaching of that which is not through the revealing of Christ, we are instructed in obedience, but it is never the obedience of his faith. We are instructed in what we should drink or not drink, what we should eat or not eat, what we should wear or not wear, or we're instructed. I could go on and on and on. Some of these things that we're instructed in are called precepts or principles. Principles. We talked about that this afternoon in recording the session for tonight in the open forum. Raven had been listening to a broadcast on his way out to South Carolina, a preacher, who just simply said that salvation is not a person. Salvation is based upon principles by which we live. So there is the teaching of principle, the principle of righteousness, the principle of holiness. Look what people have done with that. The principle of the church, the principle of it just goes on and on and on and on. So we learn these principles, and then we try to do them. We try to make it work, and then somebody says, well, that's because you don't have enough faith. No, that's because you have no faith in the Son of God at all. It's not about making principles work. It's about coming to see our salvation as a person. We live then by the faith of that person. What is the faith of that person? Paul defines it as being the knowledge of the Son of God. The obedience of faith, hon, is the obedience of our soul in the knowledge of the Son. It is the knowledge of Christ that brings our soul into the obedience of faith. It's not heard one brother in one of our conferences one time. I about fell out of my chair. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It was sometime in one of our conferences. And he was wound up preaching. And said, you know, I know exactly the day and the place I was. I know when I was sanctified. And I think I've been ministering in that same conference on who hath made Christ unto us wisdom, knowledge, sanctification, and redemption. And his brother wanted us to know that he had been sanctified. And he used this as example. He said, I'll have you to know since that very day, I have never had a temper. I have never gotten mad. And I thought to myself, I sat there and I thought, what? I can't even believe I'm hearing this. What? Oh my God. Well, it passed and it was over with. Huh? Me being sanctified? I mean, if that was it, it had nothing to do with my temper or with this or with that. Sanctification is a work whereby we are separated unto God. And there is only one work whereby we are separated unto God, and that is through the indwelling person of Jesus Christ. Whereby we are dead to sin and alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How alive as our Lord Jesus Christ is life. God hath made him sanctification unto us. There's a lot of people who don't lose their temper and don't even claim to be a Christian. Hun, these are precepts that are out there, and everybody's supposed to learn how to be obedient to them. Paul says, my preaching, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, which is according to the revelation of the mystery, which all of the prophets spoke of, which God commanded, the everlasting God commanded, who had made that manifest and has made it manifest to both Jew and Gentile for the obedience of the faith. So that's all I'll say about that. We're talking about this mystery. We speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. He's talking about the hierarchy, primarily those in Judaism, the high priest, the Levites, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, and all of that. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then let's just look at Ephesians 1, 9 through 10. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. See, that takes us back up here while I was reading to you a while ago in Romans. According to the commandment of an everlasting God, that he made known the mystery. According to the commandment, see, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That in the administration, mark out dispensation there, because it is in the original. I mean, it's, and in most other translations other than the King James, that in the administration of the fullness of times, that's the administration of the Spirit. Because when did God send forth His Son? In the fullness of the time. In the administration of the fullness of time, He might. This is according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. What did He purpose to do? That is having to do with the mystery of His will. It's just this, that through the administration of the Spirit, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. This is not something that He was planning to do when Paul was preaching. Paul says this is what He planned to do before the foundation of the world. This is what He planned to do according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. This is what He has, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He has purposed in Himself. What was all that? What was it that God had in mind to do, willed to do, was His purpose to do? That in the administration of the fullness of time, He would gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. But who is the mystery there? See, everybody comes along, preaches this. Most of them will tell you that the fullness of times hasn't yet come, but when the fullness of times has come, He's going to gather together in one all things. This is something He purposed to do before the foundation of the world. This is something that Paul is saying He hath made known to us, the mystery of His will. But the question is still, how does He make known? Because reading this, is not the mystery of His will. Reading this is what He purposed to do, what He willed to do, but how is it that He does it? Purpose that it would be through the administration of the Spirit. What is it that He does through the administration of the Spirit? That's what I want to talk to you about. That's what I want us to focus upon. How is it that we come to understand the fullness of times unless God the Father reveals the fullness of time in us? Because you can argue about the fullness of time until the cows all come. Most of the time you're going to point, why? Because you haven't seen in the natural, that no natural eye will ever see, what takes place in the fullness of time. Because the natural eye can't discern it. The natural eye can see the body of Jesus Christ, but we look at it in the flesh. And by looking at it in the flesh, there is no way we can understand that He might might gather together in one all things in Christ, let alone even believers. And certainly not which is in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. Because there is no way we can, with a natural mind, by reading the Scripture, understand even the concept, let alone the reality of a new heaven and a new earth. Unless the new heaven and the new earth are revealed in us, how? In one, even in Him. All of this, new heaven, new earth, gathered together in one, all things in Christ. All of this is in one, which is in Christ, even in Him. Unless we see Him, how are we going to gather? How will we ever understand anything God has done in Him if we don't see Him? If we don't know Him. What we're thinking here, even those that do think about this, are thinking that God is going to show us all this stuff. And that this is the mystery that God is going to show us. But we have already established, because the Scriptures do clearly establish for somebody that will read it, the mystery of God is Christ. The mystery of God is not just hidden in Christ. The mystery of God is Christ, who is hidden from the natural mind. Here in 2 Corinthians 2, I just took verse 7 and 8 out, but even in reading that, you will understand there that the natural mind, be it contrary to God, cannot know. Paul states there, things prepared of God, I have not seen it. Ear have, never will. Not only has I not seen it, I'll never see it. Ear has not heard it, ear will never hear it. Hasn't entered into the heart of a man, never will. In the natural way, never will. Except these things be revealed of God, they cannot be known. So He has purposed that in the administration of the Spirit, He would make these things known. And Paul is declaring He has done the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul doesn't go around preaching that there's 50,000 things that God will reveal. You know, He'll reveal this, He'll reveal. No. But that God purposed to gather it all up in one. Hunt, I can't tell you how many people that are supposed to be preaching Christ still haven't really seen that. I'll tell you one other thing about that verse. You can look at it when you're searching the term gathered together. In one, all things in Christ. Searching the term gathered together and then all things. And I wish I had it on a printout before me, but I don't, because it had been years ago when I was searching that. It has to do with that He might gather together in the comprehension. apprehension of one. All things in Christ. The word comprehension is there. I can't remember whether it's Vines or whether it's Jameson, Fawcett, Brown. I can't remember which of the commentators was making that, was breaking it down like that. But it's been a long, long time. But it's in looking at the, you know, the gathered together in one, all things. And it has to do with the comprehending that gathering together all things in one, in Christ. It has to do with gathering all things together in the comprehension of Him. That is so that you will understand all things in heaven and on earth in the comprehension of Christ. Not in the natural mind, not in the natural comprehension. And that it isn't speaking of a natural heaven or a natural earth. Even in Him. Even in Him. But there is no, we could preach a new heaven, we could preach a new earth, but you can't comprehend it. And you can't walk in the faith and knowledge of it until the one in whom that reality dwells is revealed in you. Can't do it, honey. You just simply cannot do it. And it has pleased God to gather everything of our salvation, everything of the all things, everything of the testimony, everything of the types and shadows, everything that was hidden in types and shadows. It has pleased God not only to gather it together in Christ, but to reveal Christ as the hidden mystery of it. That the real mystery of all of that was that it spoke of Him. And that He is the substance of it. That Jerusalem of old, under David, under Solomon, spoke of Christ. Not another place, but a relationship with Him. And the temple did, the altars did, everything that David himself did, Solomon himself spoke. What was hidden there from the natural mind, and is still hidden there from the natural mind, though you could preach typology and it's all a type of Christ, if you haven't seen Him, how do you know? Yet there's typology preachers all over the place, in all of the churches. But I'll tell you this, hon, you go to the end of their preaching with them, you go to the end of it, go to the end of it. You'll see yourself. It pleased God. I mean, it's just what pleased God. It pleased God that it all be a testimony of His Son. It pleased God that it would all be hidden except His Son. Nobody could come to it. That's why Jesus said, I didn't want to get into this up here, Mark. That's why he said, it's been fixed where they can see and hear and not understand. Else they think that they are converted. Else they find it in the law and all of that. See, Paul got a hold of that. I mean, he didn't get a hold of that then, but Paul is the same way. He was trying that. And if he could have found it in the law, he would have never found it in Christ. So Christ is saying exactly that. That seeing they may, I talk to them in parables so that they cannot understand with the natural mind. They will have to turn. They will have to turn. They will have to come by the Spirit. No man can come except the Spirit. Please, God, everything of our salvation, Lord, not only in Him, it is Him. There's nothing given of God that He hasn't given in the very person, as the very person of His Son. Has God given us wisdom? And when will that wisdom abound? When we see Christ. When the wisdom of God is revealed. The love of God? Yes. When? When the love of God is revealed. The faith of God by which we live. When? When the faith of God is revealed. Where is all of that? It's in Christ. Paul calls it then faith in the Son of God, which is the knowledge of the Son of God. I can show you in Ephesians. I've got my verses here somewhere. In Ephesians 4, I can show you. I hate to say things that the Scripture doesn't say it in the King James just like that, without explaining why I'm saying it that way. I just said faith of the Son of God, which is the knowledge of the Son of God. Well, that actually is the way it's written in the original in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 13. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Here we all come in. It's important we understand that that word is not to, and it's not listed that way even in the King James Bible. We all come in the unity of the faith. The word "the faith" there, followed by that that article "faith" distinguishes it from just the word "faith." The faith is the faith of the Son of God. That's the way it's to be understood and interpreted in that verse. It's the same thing Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by, he could have said, I live by faith, but he said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He said the same thing in Philippians when he says, righteousness which is not of the law, but of the faith of Christ. It's the same thing, the faith of the Son of God. And then the word here, the little conjunction word there, and, is even or indeed. Even or indeed. Here we all come in, not just to, not just to hear a preaching, hear of this, look at this to go on, look at that to go on, oh Lord God. Here we come in unity. Means everybody getting along. No, it doesn't. I mean, it's fine, everybody get along, but that's not unity. We're talking about unity of the faith of the Son of God. You first have to have the faith of the Son of God. And he goes on and he says, even faith of the Son of God and even indeed. Even of the knowledge of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God from it is the knowledge of the Son of God working in our heart. Faith.
then we begin to live, as Paul said, life I now live in the flesh. I live by the knowledge of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live in the understanding, not I, but Christ liveth in me. I live by faith. I live by faith. Please God, that through the administration of the Spirit, He would gather all things that are in Christ. He would gather those things together in the comprehension of us. Or, you can say it this way, that He would show us the all things in the face of Jesus Christ. It pleased God. Notice that verse does not say that He would gather together in one all things. One thing. Oh, just everything. All things everywhere. That is what that verse says. It says that He would gather together, that is, bring into the comprehension of one all things in Christ. It doesn't say that He's going to gather all things into Christ. It never says He's going to gather every person, every nation, every into Christ. That is not what this is saying. This is saying that which is in His Son shall be gathered together in the comprehension of His Son. That's what this verse is saying. That is not my opinion. That's what this verse is saying. I have at times wrestled with this verse, trying to make it say something else. It doesn't say anything else. They do this by the administration of the fullness of time, the Spirit of God. All right, we read something one other time. I want us to go back there quickly. How much time have we got left?
I got about 7-8 minutes or 8, something like that.
Oh, we've got very little time left. That's all right. It's in Colossians. You've read it before. We've read it together.
Let me get back, turn back to it. Here's my Bible. Right with Colossians 3. Now, this is talking to people who are born from above. It's talking to people who are quickened together and seated together. It's talking to those who are in Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ. All right? And he's saying, set your mind, set your affection on things above. He's talking to the body of Christ. All right? Then brings that on down to verse 4. Verse 2 says, set your affection things above. Verse 3 says, you're dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, with reference to the mystery, because that's what all of this here in Colossians is in reference to, because just a little ways back in this letter, he has said the mystery of God, which is Christ. Then he begins to deal with the reality of Christ. And then he is still talking about that. It comes here to the when and the then. I've been asking, during this lesson. If God's answer is the revealing of his mystery, which is the hidden, how does he do that? Well, first, I wanted us to establish the mystery of God, which is Christ. And then look a little while at these verses that are talking about the gathering together. But it's how does God gather up the all things that are in Christ, including me and you? Including me and you. But the all things, all of the blessings in heavenly places, don't look off too far. It goes on to say, in Christ Jesus, he's in you. That's true, you know. How does he gather together? Gathers it together in the comprehension of one. Of what? All things. Where? In Christ. This is not talking about, I'm telling you, of gathering all things into Christ. This is talking about gathering into the comprehension of Christ, all things in Christ. It is saying, here we come in the unity, gathered together in the unity of the faith of the Son of God. That he would gather together in the mind of Christ, in the faith of Christ. That he would gather together in the comprehension of one. All things in one. Even in him. Paul says, till we all come in that unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, of the faith of Jesus. How fully to the fullness of the measure of the stature of him. Hallelujah. When he who is our life shall appear, then we shall know. Then we shall appear with him in glory. Oh, we try to be faithful to one another, but by seeing, we can't do that while we're seeing. That only comes from seeing. When he appears, then we will understand. Then we will know. We will know our union with him, and honey, we'll know our union with each other. Nothing in hell or anywhere else can touch it. Otherwise, anything. Basically, your own feelings. I know that's not too hard to say here with you guys tonight. Not saying men and women, guys. Forgive me, I just call everybody you guys. Tonight. Well, we might as well get serious with this because it won't work any other way. And joy of my heart years has not been a run around the world. And just because it's with you guys and this is not recorded and being played anywhere else, you know. But I've ministered this in well over 33 some odd countries for a lot of years.
saying and what God is doing and what God wants them to do and all the other stuff. But that the anointed is in them. We'll secure them. Done. He has not only chosen us in Christ from before the foundation of the world, he has chosen together all that is in Christ through the revealing of Christ. Gathered together in one, all things. Comprehend all things in him. We come to comprehend it. We come to comprehend one another as well, huh? My comprehension of you is not based upon and secured in my comprehending of him, and I have no comprehension of you except in the flesh. I'll tell you, daughter, that's not worth a blood nickel. That's only good until the feelings of the flesh change. I don't care how many promises are made. And yet, if that is sealed in the one promise of God, it's for eternity. There is no other consequence. You see, we recognize the things. We try to make them work. They won't work until when he who is our life shall appear, then we shall know. Now, let me read one more verse here. Because I've been looking at this verse in this study, 1 John 2, and it's in verse 28. And we may want to come back and look at it some other time, because it needs to be read from 1 John 2, verse 22 through verse 29. But you can read that some. Just look at what that's talking about. My. The Father, the Son. He that hath the Son, hath the Father, hath not the Son, hath not the Father. By me goes on. Let that therefore abide in you. And it goes on. Now, he says in verse 20, now little children, abide in you. Do we do that? Well, brother, we go to church every Sunday. Yeah, I'm good. That has absolutely nothing to do with abiding in him. I mean, you understand? It could have. Somebody could do that as a result of their real abiding, but you can do that and don't even know the word abide exists. Abide in him. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him. King James says, at his coming, I'm telling you the truth, even a good interlineal Bible will show you that it says, before him, in his presence. In his presence. I wouldn't even start to tell you that if it wasn't a certainty in an interlineal Bible, in a Greek translation. In the word that is used as at here is the Greek word in. His coming is parousia, which means his personal presence.
where are you at his appearing? In acknowledgement, in realization, you're in his presence. A manifest presence. A revealed presence. What is this word? That we may have confidence and not be ashamed. Then I looked at it again when I was thinking about it. I thought, well, no wonder we have confidence and not ashamed, because when he who is our life shall appear, we see that we are with him where he is. That's enough for confidence. Confidence here is the sureness of faith, the sureness of a foundation. It's a security. When are we really secure? He appears and we are found standing in the presence of him. I mean, honey, there could be a lot of things going on all around. That's going on in my Lord and my God, you stand secure. Hallelujah. There we stand in the faith of the Son of God. Come on, darling. Look at what faith really is. Faith is really the realization that comes into our soul with the revealing of Jesus Christ. How then do we stand in his presence? We stand there in faith. Not the way we use faith in the church world today. And you know, we stand there saying we are, whether we really are or not. I accepted my faith. Just get out of it. We see it in faith. We hear it in faith. We hear it in his presence. We stand there in the knowledge of the Son of God. Hallelujah. He maketh not ashamed. Alright, we're talking about the mystery of God. We may know in teaching, we may know in religious ways, we may know because we've been taught it, and because we, you know, all of that. We don't even know in the way that we've been looking at tonight that we're the body of Christ until that person is revealed in our soul. What I'm talking about then, and I close with this. When he who is our life shall appear, then we shall know. Not when we have accepted that. Not when we have accepted that. T-H-A-T. That. Christ is our life. Not when we have accepted that. Christ is in us. Or that. We are in him. We've accepted that. You understand? The preaching of it. Teaching of it. We've accepted that we are in him, or that we are his body, or that we're all one body, or that we could go on. It is not that. It is when he shall appear then. Then we understand. Then we know by faith that we're in him, that he's in us. I mean, you understand? When he shall be. See? All about the appearing of him. It always has been in the heart and mind of God. Always has been. That appearing was hidden in a pillar of fire, pillar of cloud. It was hidden in an angelic form. It was hidden. Oh, Lord. On and on and on. But when he was our life soldier. The argument is not, is he or is he not our life? He is our life. The question is, has he appeared? Because when he does, then questions are answered. Questions are even abolished. And we don't see our union in ourselves. We see our union in him. We know no man after the flesh. And we preach not ourselves. And most of the time, that's what's going on in the church, even in spirit filtered, just preaching ourselves. We formed a whole belief system around preaching ourselves. Amen. Amen. Mystery of God, which is Christ. Thank you. Amen.